Yes, Kathy. Okay. All right. We ready, Chris? Okay. All right, we're going to bring this meeting to order of the Cotuit Water Department and the Cotuit Fire District. We have here for commissioners Tom, Vic, and Don. We also have Lisa and France and the Financial Committee in attendance. In opening this meeting, we're going to change the agenda, take care of a couple line items here. One is the FY 2019 budget discussion, so we can let the Financial Committee go after that part of the discussion process. So in doing this, I know that we, in our budget proposal, we put a hefty pay increase for the employees. And I wanted to give some history to that, how we got to where we are, and a reason behind it. As I'm completing my fifth year on the board right now, the very first year we came up with, got to this point in the process, and from Commissioner Kiley and Commissioner Barnacle, it was a straight 3%, and the discussion was that the people that would work for the water department are underpaid as compared to all the other departments in on the Cape, and that we wanted to be pretty stable and give them a regular raise every year, and I just accepted that. I said, okay, we're going to go that way. And we did that last year, and last year was the first time there was really any pushback for that. And at the end of the district meeting, I was told that we should not expect a 3% raise every year for the employees of the water department. So that instigated within me a look at the structure that we had here for paying our employees. We looked at comparing with the other departments, and there's a lot of variables that come to get involved with that. It's hard to compare with other places because we're not mirror images of each other. But the bottom line is dollars and cents. If someone's working here and they can work somewhere else and make more money, then what's their incentive to stay here? Whether it's comparable or not, as far as the scope of the work or anything like that, if they can get a job somewhere else and make more money, and we have a history of losing people due to the pay scale. In the last 6 or 7 years, we've lost about 5 people. One was dismissed. One decided he didn't like this kind of work, and 3 left because they can make more money in other places. So it's been important to me and this board also that if we're going to try to build for the future and all the things that we foresee for the future with this department, that we come and be competitive with other departments so there's the incentive to stay and the incentive to grow. There's hope for our employees that they can have a future here. So that was my initial thought process. We got into it, and Tom and Vic did a huge amount of work. I think Vic has the PowerPoint presentation here. Came up with stuff that was even beyond what I was thinking as far as having steps or levels within each, for each type of employee, whether it's a the superintendent, the secretary, or the guys that work in the field. And it qualified them. We came up with job descriptions. We came up with evaluation processes and all that stuff to try to make this thing work. And we also compared our pay with all the other pay departments on the Cape. We try to look for a middle of the road. One of the Financial Committee members who attended a couple of our meetings is not here tonight. Called it a one-time wage adjustment, which he was very positive about. He thought that would be something he could support. So that's where we got to where we are. I was not able to come to the presentation for the financial committee because I just was one day out of surgery for my knee. Vic was on vacation in Las Vegas, if I dare say that. Okay, so Tom made a presentation, and the response I got from the financial committee was that it was not received, I don't think received very well. So we wanted to try to explain what our process is, what we're looking at, open for discussion. But I can tell you, as a member of this board, and I'm speaking for the whole board, just as me as an individual on this board, I want to see some equity for our employees in moving forward. I want to see them have a future. I want to see them have, make a good living. I can say that as someone who's now on a fixed income, who realizes it's going to cost me. I don't have extra money coming to take care of it. But I do know when I was making money like I used to, it was the fact that I was paid well that was important. It got me involved with the community. It got me involved with all the stuff that I do today. So, with that being said, did you want to make a presentation, Vic?
Yeah.
We're ready.
Well, let me start out just adding a little bit. When I came on 3 years ago,
Vic, make sure you're talking to the mic.
When I came onto the board 3 years ago, we were at the point where Don described it. I mean, we were, to use an analogy, we were acting as a farm team for the rest of the water departments on the Cape and, you know, close in. We'd train the employees, we'd pay to get their licenses and training, they'd get their experience. And as soon as they had that, at least three of them said, well, you know, I can go for the next town over or two towns over and get a better salary. And I'll make this point here in the presentation, but the other I don't know what you want to call it, a criticism, but the other point that was made that we didn't really have an evaluation system for our employees. So when we started digging into this, I mean, one was to try and figure out what was a fair and equitable pay for the employees. The other was to build job descriptions for them, in those job descriptions, sort out the critical elements, those things that mattered the most in their jobs, build an evaluation system, and then provide for at least once a year review of job performance. Anyway, before this thing shuts down on me, so this deals with not just the pay equity and those issues, but it deals with some of the other issues that we've kind of wrestled with over the last couple of years. Our goals were to provide accurate job descriptions for all positions, create tools for evaluating job performance, and that was an exercise in pulling out these critical elements, and then provide a step-based, measurable job-level system for advancement. And this is particularly important for our operators, where we look at training, we look at years of service, we look at job performance through their evaluation system to determine what step or what level they've achieved. And then finally, to determine fair compensation for each job level. And before I forget, if you need to stop me, please do. Our objectives were to retain quality, licensed, and trained employees. And as Don said, and Chris can attest to, you know, we had a series where we lost five employees, had to hire new people, get them trained, get them licensed, and bring them back on board. The second objective was to reward continued employee growth and performance. As they get more licenses, as their performance is adequate or more than adequate, a reward system to advance them at these different steps or levels. We wanted to support succession planning so that we ensure a continuity of system-specific information. And there's a lot of information about our water system, you know, where mains are, what size they are, what they're constructed of, how old they are, how, you know, you add chemicals. Anyway, I can't speak adequately to this, but Chris can lecture you all day on this. But as these employees were leaving, we were losing that knowledge. Another objective was to preserve the district's financial investment in its employees, the training, the testing, the licensing, and the memberships. And we invest heavily in particularly new employees. And as they advance and they're with us a long period of time, there's both formal investments where we pay for their coursework, but there's also Chris's time showing them, demonstrating to them different techniques, different procedures. Then, second to the bottom, we wanted to compensate employees fairly for the services they provide, and we want to retain employees by compensating them fairly relative to the surrounding districts. And before I forget it, and I haven't made this, our employees must be able to respond to emergencies within 30 minutes of the call. They must be on site in 30 minutes. So, you know, they can't go live in Wareham. They have to live close to the district someplace or in the district. So the first thing to do was write job descriptions, and we wrote job descriptions for a systems operator, the office manager, and the superintendent. And I think we've shared those with you, so you've seen those job descriptions. You know, if you have any comments on those now or later, we'd be glad to entertain those. And I'm not going to go through each one of these. Both system operator and the office manager have levels. The superintendent, we figure he's at grade. He's hired as a professional, and, you know, there's not different levels there. But for the system operator, level one is the entry level. They come to us as raw material, you know, without licenses, without any experience in water management, water system management. Level two would put them after 2 years of experience and with their D1 and T1 licenses, OSHA training, and they would have to exceed expectations in their annual review for the year prior. So at the end of the year, they'd have to have exceeds or, you know, a high rating, and they'd have to have their licenses. Level three would be 3 years experience, a D2 license, you know, elevated from their D1 license, and they'd have to exceed expectations in the prior 2 out of 3 years. Level four, 5 years of experience, all above licenses, successful training on all systems vital to the water distribution and treatment. And that's changing a little bit, of course, as we automate those systems. So it demands some more training. And in level five, it's 7 years of experience, five of which must be with the Kootenai Water Department. All licenses required for a superintendent's position, and the mechanical knowledge, testing, safety, employee management, and security budgeting, and 3 years outstanding performance out of the last 5 years. And that sets us up for a replacement for the superintendent, you know, and we're not trying to push Chris out or anything, but we've identified this as a critical need of the water department. We have no assistant superintendent, and there's no succession planning there for assistant superintendent. So, you know, God forbid, if Chris was stampeded by bluefish this summer, would be without that leadership in the department. But this provides a mechanism for us to get employees to that level. Any questions? Well, the next thing was... Yep. Uh, think I can.
I just have a question. If you had an open position on the water department and someone came in to apply for a job and met all the qualifications for a level 4 operator, could they enter at level 4?
Because
there's no years of experience, and I know on level 5 you have at least 5 of the Kootenai Water Department. I just didn't know if that would be an option, if we had someone qualified come to apply.
I mean, it's theoretical that they could, but I doubt that they have training on all the systems specific to the Kootenai Water Department. You know, and there's, and maybe this doesn't spell it out because it's in bullet format, but if you, there's a laser thing around here someplace. But training on all systems vital to water distribution and treatment, meaning in Kootenai, the Kootenai Water Department. So theoretically, somebody could come on board, and if they knew all those systems, yeah, they could start at a level 4. But probably unlikely. You know, they may start at a level 3 or something. But it,
I just wondered if I would ever thought of the level 4 captain and the team with all the places where we could fit in.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about it a little bit, but that, it's a good point.
We did talk about it a little bit, but, and also there was no real firm plan on that, because part of that level process is having being evaluated for a period of time to go to the next step. Okay? In my old job, if I had 20 years of experience and I got hired in another department, I started at step 1. And then I went to step, unless I was an hired as an officer or some administrative staff, I were hired at that first step of that particular job. That has been my experience. That doesn't mean that's the way it'll be done here, but it has to be worked out. There's nothing really set in stone right now.
You mentioned that the Kootenai Water Department pays the employees to get their licenses. I find that intriguing because usually if you want to move up in an organization and you need to get further licenses, then it would behoove the employee to do that and to pay for it and to demonstrate a willingness to move up. You know, that's what would happen in my field.
Yeah.
So that if there was a position that you wanted and you didn't have the background from it for it, then you would get that license, get that designation. You would demonstrate a willingness to do that. And I think twice I heard you say that we pay for them to do that. So I wondered about that and whether, you know, whether that's appropriate for us to be doing that, and so that they don't have skin in the game.
Well, they do and they don't have skin in the game, because if they don't pass the test, they pay for the license. We don't. But if they do, you know, their skin in the game is, of course, their time invested, and some of this is time after hour in the coursework and the work that goes into it. But we do, you know, pay for the license.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But in the private sector, okay, sector, if there was a position that I wanted, okay, and I didn't have the background for it, and it mean I, you know, I had an associate degree and I needed a bachelor's degree, or I needed a master's, or I needed some kind of specialty certification, then it would be on my shoulders to get that, to prove that I'm capable of going to level 2 or level 3. So I was just intrigued by that.
Well, I came out of the public sector, so, you know, my experience is there. But in the public sector, if you're hired into a position that demands certain licenses, then the government paid for that. But if I wanted to step out of my scientist role and become a lawyer and seek another position in the government as a lawyer rather than as a scientist, then it would be up to me to pursue a law degree. So, yes and no. I mean, we're
we're making an investment. But I doubt that we'd get anybody at an entry level saying, well, yeah, I'll go get some licenses and apply for a job. And that's where we start with, you know, we start with the level one.
All right. We're not going to go back and forth here. The standard is, if there's a license or something that's required for the position, that is paid for by the employer. My EMT has always been paid for by my employer. My certification has always been paid for by the employer. If I want to get college education, we talked about people for themselves in a college education, maybe become a superintendent someday as a requirement, that's on them. But if it's a required certificate, license, it's on the employer to pay for that. Okay, we're going to move on.
Good. We can move on?
Yeah, please.
So, we get back to the original question, what's fair and equitable? And so what we did was go out and survey the surrounding towns, districts, and as Don said, and you got to keep this in mind, they're all different. Some of them are in DPW, some of them are in separate water districts. What we didn't try to compare, and you have to kind of keep this in the back of your mind too, these are salaries of their operators, okay, and their means, you know, for different districts, because it's a big district, they have a lot of operators, it's a meaning thing, but this is the current for each of those districts. The other things that are unequal are, for example, health benefits. You know, we pay 50% of our health benefits. Some of these districts pay 90-95% of the health benefits. We didn't try to just pay based on that. Some of the districts allow their employees to take a car home when they're on call. We don't do that. So there are some benefits that are hidden there, but we didn't try and make adjustments to those benefits. We strictly looked at the salaries. If you see, the lowest is Dennis. Dennis is non-union. There's several union shops here, Falmouth, Comm, but the second lowest salary levels were Katuah. And that's an average of our operators. Anyway, what we're suggesting is to take our systems operators pay and raise it, which is approximately, I'll get to the percentage in a minute, but this is the current level, this is the suggested level, which would bring us up to the mean of all of the other districts that we surveyed. Hold it. Okay. Office manager, the same type of survey. Some of the districts don't have office managers because they're part of DPW. Let me go back to operators just for a second and make a point. With some of the districts, some of the big districts, their operators do one thing. They may do water testing. They may do meter readings. They don't have to do all the tasks that are demanded in that water department. Our operators do. They have to do everything. They have to know every system in town, be able to know everything and do everything. So they're really multitasking. They're, in my mind, more skilled than some of the other districts. But we did the same kind of survey for the office manager. And again, Katuah was not at the bottom. Barnstable is at the bottom, and Barnstable is a town-owned water system.
Barnstable or
IMC? Barnstable is not IMC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm mixing them up here. But Katuah was close to the bottom. And again, we looked at bringing that up to a mean level. I've got these slides covered. Mix those up, but the superintendent salary, we surveyed those also.
Our salary for our superintendent wasn't grossly out of line with the other districts. Onset is kind of an exception here. They have a brand new superintendent that is entry level and was hired in an entry level position. Why some of the other ones are higher or lower, I can't really explain that. But as I said, we don't have levels for our superintendent. We just, our goal there was just to bring him, bring that position up to the current need, which would be about 97,000. Anyway, the end result of all this, would be about a 4% increase for the superintendent. The office manager, about a 14% increase. It's a little bit less than that, I round the job. The senior operator, about 3%, and the two junior operators, about a 12% increase. And if I did my math right, that would result in 22,500 increase in the salary expenses for this fiscal year. And that's overall. That's all five positions. So the summary is that it provides a system where you have standardized job descriptions, you have a formal education process where we encourage employees to advance. It provides for employee improvement and advancement, and it rewards employees commensurate with their training, their length of service, their performance, and their responsibility. And I think that's important that all those elements are included, the training, the length of service, and that performance. So every year they get that performance review, and I know I failed to mention this, but that's also a supervisory review, but there's also a self-review.
So, that's all I have. If anybody has any questions. Tom, do you have any input on that?
Yeah, I do. I just a couple of points that both yourself and Vic made that I think are critically important for people to remember. One is just, you know, it's common sense. It's the importance of water and the importance of a good water supply, high quality, predictable. You lose your power, you still have water. You have a fire at your house, there's water that the firemen can tap into. You have water throughout this district that is maintained at a high quality and predictable fashion. And I think all you got to do is look back to the conversations about the solar farm, and you'll get a good idea of how important people in this village think their water is, because they turned down the masses when they thought there was any possibility that it might be in jeopardy. And I think we got to keep that in mind, and I hold that really close to my heart. The second thing is the succession plan. You know, we have to have people in place that are well-trained in the workings of our district. And if we don't, and we lose somebody, whether they go somewhere else to work because the pay is better, or they decide to retire, then we're back at ground zero. And that's difficult. That's very difficult to do. And I think, you know, we need to have a person that can step into that assistant superintendent's position. We have the position. We don't have the description right now. We may have the staff on board. We may not. But that's something I think we need to look at real closely, and that would require either additional money or the loss of one of the operators, right? Going to two operators. Because I think the staff numbers are sufficient, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're sufficient. The last point I would echo is the one that Vic said on the skill set. Our operators are not specialists at you know, making sure the hydrants are functional, or working on the meters,
or doing the chemical feeds, right? They do it all. They are specialists at that, but they're not sole specialists, which is what happens in the larger districts, okay, because they have more employees. So they're getting paid more than our guys for doing less. And I think we need to keep that in mind. So that's all I have right now.
Okay, so just there's one thing I've had a thought, because I've been thinking about this since I got an email from the Prudential Committee after the presentation was made last. And I haven't talked about this with anyone else on the board, but there's always give and take when it comes to trying to get things moved forward. To me, the goal is to get some sort of equity going here. If doing it all at once is too big a hurdle to overcome, I think it's a reasonable discussion to have with the board here that it might be spread out over 2 years or maybe even 3 years to make it so it's not a big a hit all at once. But the goal has to be that we have to get somewhere where we are bringing our employees up to some sort of middle ground there. And as far as the concern from the parent committee, because there's two concerns I have on this piece of paper here, the part about this pay increase is half of it. Do you have any anything you'd like to talk about?
I think maybe I could live with 2 years. I can't. I just could not support a 14% raise for anybody over a one-year period. But it's not just that. Our health insurance costs are going up 6% this year. And when you raise someone's salary, you also raise some other associated costs with that. So that $22,000 is not the only hit that the district is going to take. There are other associated costs. The firefighters got a 2% raise. They accepted. The cost of living for the index for the government is 2%. And I just think that's a great deal to ask of the taxpayers. I think, you know, perhaps if the water rate study was completed and you had some information about that and you could tie it into increasing the rates, it would be more palatable. But I think, you know, I just can't support that. You know, I think that's just, you know, if you want to spread it over a couple of years, I could probably support that, but not all at one time. I think you're going to be asking for a huge amount of money for other, you know, for another water project. I just think that's a great deal to ask of the taxpayers. And I realize that, you know, we're not at the median of these other places, but we're, with the exception of Onset, we're the smallest. We have the smallest population that's supporting the district and the employees of the district. And they all do a great job. I haven't got any problem with the job that they're doing. But I think that, you know, you have to remember that we have a very small base of people that are supporting all the costs and finances and expenses of the district. Do you want to say anything?
I was just going to mention also that, you know, the $22,000 in salary expenses clearly does not, you know, that's not the total hit on the district for the increased salaries. I just wondered, and I know it plays into the COLA, the cost of living increase and things, but have you looked at all, just over the past couple of years, at the historic pay increases for those other districts that you surveyed? You know, are they giving their employees regular 2% increases? What are we looking at, you know? If we spread this out over a period of time, are we still going to be behind the eight ball on the mean if these districts are increasing? You follow that question?
Okay, so there's three things to address here. Number one is the fire department's 2% increase. They're not starting at the bottom of the list. The fire department gets paid really well. They're in the middle, if not higher middle. So that's not really comparing apples and oranges right there. The small base is what it is. If we lose employees into other places because of pay, whether we're the biggest base or the smallest base, we still have to absorb, it's going to hurt us. It's just going to hurt us all the way around. We're only talking about five employees right now, and that just is what it is. The last thing I think that Lisa was talking about there, if we get ourselves entrenched into the middle of this thing, then we're going to be looking at an adjustable, you know, whatever the cost of living increase is, to try to maintain some sort of level platform right there. We're not looking, when we talk about this, this is a one-time pay adjustment. It's not like it was 11, 5 years from now, we'll look at this thing again and say, they've really fallen behind, we're going to do it all over again.
I'm sorry, my concern was more if it were to be spread out in these other districts, you know, what we're comparing to now, to get to the mean of what you're comparing to now, so you spread it out over a three-year increase. If those districts are giving increases over those 3 years, we're still behind the mean.
Yeah.
You follow that.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know whether you've done any historical, have you looked at what, have they been giving 2% each year? Has that been the norm?
We do have that.
The norm?
I don't believe that we have that information, but we can attempt to get it.
It may be some of that in that giant database, but there is a big database, but the salary information for that database is voluntary. And two of those districts, three districts, are union. So
correct.
Those contracts
they will have, yeah.
And, may happen. And I think those typically have been about 3-4% increase in 3 years. So they're pretty substantial. Some of the lower graded ones, I don't know. A fair comparison, though, and one point Don was making was, you know, we have five employees and we don't produce as much water as them. But, you know, we don't have as many employees as them or, you know, Dartmouth. And I guess if you could get all the numbers, it would be, you know, number of gallons per employee that you pump, you know, would be a fair comparison or something like that. But I don't know that we get that information. But I think that, keep that in mind, that we just have five employees to produce, 200 and how many gallons a year? I had that number in my head.
Water?
Yeah.
It's up to the millions, yeah. You know, 252, I think, was the last. Yeah.
I was going to say 270. But anyway, you know, it takes that number of employees to produce that much water. And they're going, as Tom said, all the chores, whereas some of the other towns are producing a lot more water, but they have, you know, two or three times as many employees.
The job itself is changing a lot, too, because the state's requirements are constantly being changed. They're going to have more licenses they're going to have. They're going to be different ones in the future as it comes on. And if whenever the other part of this process, instead of water, be the sewer part of this thing is tied into it, that could be a whole other thing that comes up.
Yeah.
That's a ways down the road. But we just wanted to make sure we're doing right by our employees so we can keep them, have them grow with the department. And that's what my goal has been. And I do understand about the one-time hit, if it went over 2 or 3 years, and your question is, are we still going to be behind the eight ball? At 3% a year, we were treading water. Just treading water. There was no move at all. So.
I think if you wanted to consider that, you'd probably have to keep surveying the surrounding districts and see what their cost of living increases were over the next 2 or 3 years, and then make adjustments in our salary scales based on not only where we want to be, but also on those cost of living increases. And I don't think we're going to have rampant inflation, but I think, you know, over the next couple of years, if you look at the way the economy's prices are going to increase.
And I just want to mention, I don't think it's going to change. You had mentioned about health care. Only four people. I dropped out of the healthcare about 3 years ago. I'm kind of lucky. My wife has I can get it through her. So I don't take the healthcare. I think we have two singles coming out of there. Possibly three singles. I'm not sure if Jen takes the family plan or what, but she might have just taken the family plan and Brian takes the family plan. So it's not as big as it could be. I don't believe any of the commissioners do it, but that's not my knowledge. I'm not really positive.
The health care, too, that's across the board, like all the public employees will have a 6% increase, correct?
Correct, yeah.
It's like not just the two, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
No.
Cape Cod
Municipal Healthcare Group.
Cape Cod
Municipal
Healthcare Group.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people having 6%. You know, that's something that we just have to plan.
It's huge.
Unfortunately, healthcare is expensive.
Well, we can't, the Prudential Committee can't say that you can't do it. We'll have to make a decision if the time comes, if you want to move forward with this and present it to the voters at the annual meeting. We'll make a decision at our meeting as to whether or not, we choose to recommend it, not recommend it, or just have no position on it at the annual meeting.
You have a meeting coming up this next Monday, right?
Mm-hmm. Tuesday.
Tuesday. Then I'm planning on going to it to bring with you what we decide here during this meeting about how we want to proceed.
Okay.
And the other question you had here had to do with the $470,000 to complete the security system.
Correct.
There was a number of a couple of vendors there with different types of equipment, and we looked at the prices and everything, and our only, the one we ended up, we've been working with. We just wanted to make sure that their equipment matched up with everything that we had planned on, and it does. There's no difference in the quality or the connectivity of the component parts, and was it a better price? I will state this, and I'll say it at the district meeting, that last year, through the hard work of the water commissioners, that we were able to gain a $500,000 a grant for this district, and that when it was first came up for discussion, it was my understanding the grant was to be used for a water department projects, but that's not the way it ended up being used. So we have really gone, this almost covers it, but we've gone a long ways to try to make sure that we cover as many expenses as possible, and it's the benefit of the district. And that's we're doing the best we can, trying to get the best price, but this has to be done. And it's been a process that started in 2008.
I understand that, but my question was, would it be beneficial to just do another RFP for it?
Then we're going to be, yeah, we have the fiber optics have been installed. The cabinets have been put in for it. It's designed a certain way. I believe if we were to go out, we would be almost penciled in that it would have to be a certain person that bid on it anyways. It's almost been already partially designed.
Okay.
And just to go back, I was listening to the minutes of the last meeting. You had asked about if the department would have cameras, they would. There would be some in the parking lot. There would be some inside, so there'd be more security that way. There'd be some outside the station, inside the station, same as the tank.
Yeah, my concern is entrances into the, people getting into the water department property.
Yeah, the field, the well field itself, we just couldn't. That we'd have to talk about $1 million at that point, I believe, and run more cable. Else.
But there would be cameras on all the well sites and all
right.
The tanks.
Yeah.
Also, the all the chemical feeds, the operation of everything, whether we lose power or not, that all would be part of that system. So the alarms could go off and go into handheld devices. So it's really
a lot more than what we initially was initially talked about with George Kalief in 2008, just upgrading our radios.
Yeah.
It's a totally different project. The scope has gone crazy on it.
Rocket
Yeah.
In a couple of years, the old technology just became obsolete.
But I do think Fran bring up a good point that the well fields are still not being monitored, and they are being trespassed upon, and that trespass does present some concern to our water quality. You know, some very real concerns that I think we need to address somehow. But I just don't, like Chris said, that we'd be adding another $500,000 to the security system if we wanted to tie it into that.
And the other thing, I mean, if this is public property with restricted use, okay? So it's not like we can't. We have to be careful the terminology we use in describing what the property is. It's public property, restricted use. And it's been my experience over a long time with different towns, everywhere I've worked, if you put up some sort of defense against people getting in there and using the property for their ATVs, their motorbikes, bonfires, and parties, they're going to find another way to get to the same place. And you can be chasing your tail all the time. Some of our commissioners walk through the property. They see where trails have been marked off with paint. The mm-hmm. trees are cut down to make the paths for people to go in to have their parties. It's unless we have people out there monitoring all the time, it's going to continue.
I think one thing that we've talked about along those lines is getting the Barnstable Police Department more interested in patrolling, protecting, responding to calls about trespass or environmental damage. And to my knowledge, and Chris, you know this better than I, they have not been very responsive.
It takes quite a few phone calls before they start. I can call and complain every single time we get something happening, and they'll make a note, and then finally someone will come through on the weekend. Every once in a while, if they're going to have them out, it's one of the places they'll go.
I think maybe if we could, if you could mobilize some of those people who came here for the solar project to start being, watch what's going on out there. What's particularly concerning to me is the fire hazard. It's bad enough everything else they're doing, but having bonfires out there, they could just burn half Kituit down. That just shouldn't be.
Just so you know, that some of the people that mobilized against that have used water department property that abuts them.
I'm sure.
And they have encroached upon it with asphalt shingles, all kinds of stuff. We're in the process. One of our forward-leaning things is trying to get some sort of survey of our property and letting people know this is our bounds and what you can and cannot put. But
you can find people, correct?
Can we find?
Can you find people?
I don't know.
At this point, I don't think we can because we're not legally posted.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem with getting the police department out to do some of the patrols for us. We have to have it legally posted, so we have to survey our boundaries first, and then every 50 feet, you have to post a no trespassing sign, watershed protection. After that, then they have some teeth to go out and actually write tickets and fine.
Maybe.
Now, they could write tickets and fine for unregistered motor vehicles, for operations by minors, for having a bonfire, right, on public land, that sort of thing.
But I also think it would be nice if one of the simplest things would be to try to bring it to the people that, listen, you are encroaching on our property. We want to be good neighbors. And give them the opportunity to become good neighbors. A lot of times stuff happens over time and it just builds up, and nothing happens, and now it becomes an issue.
And they're part of the district.
I was just going to say that, those signs, posting those signs, sounds like a grant opportunity to me. There must be some place you can get a grant for water departments to, you know, help protect the property.
And some of the people you talk to are up in this detail. They do a lot of walking out there, and they will call personally or wave you down and tell me what they see going on.
Yeah.
How often do you have bonfires out there? Is it an every weekend thing? Every other?
It goes and it comes. It might be.
You should ask the fire department to go on top of that because they can issue.
Yeah, they have, and they have. We had the police down there breaking up fires. We've had the fire department down there putting out fires. It depends on the police department at the time if they want to press charges. No, not in a long time.
So is this helped the members of the prevention committee somewhat? Okay. I look forward to seeing you Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay.
The other thing.
Oh, there's one more thing. Hold on. Chris was going to want to remind me that on the agenda here, which I seem to have lost.
Stanley needs a copy of the PowerPoint.
The cost of service study update. We went through a process. You were here, Fran, weren't you? And of how we picked someone. We've chosen Tata and Howard, and we just wanted to make sure that they make a formal announcement to the parents committee that has been done.
So we haven't awarded any kind of letter to them, just so if you guys wanted to talk about it, discuss it, bring it up. Okay. All right.
Okay. I just didn't know how, because of the way the warrant was made, who signs what, who does what.
The only reason we did it was because I asked the previous chairman to do it.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we're going down where everyone's on the same page. That's all. The more if I tell everyone five times, then maybe we'll avoid problems. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys
for coming out on a bad weather night, and I hope you feel better, Fran. It sucks not feeling good.
What's going on with her now?
Oh. She had pneumonia.
Oh, Jesus. I think we're all going down.
Unless that was a HIPAA violation.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go back to the beginning of the agenda with public comment. We have any public comment, even though we've talked for a while. That was a pretty long presentation there. So,
that was a good presentation.
Yeah.
So
we're going to review the minutes. The minutes have been posted, so we have an opportunity to, unless there's been any, we have two sets of things here.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
This is the regular minutes from February 14th.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We've all read them. I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of our workshop meeting. My glass blew up.
The 23rd.
The 23rd.
Okay. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. There's your sets of minutes.
So on that one, on the 23rd minute, right, we made the recommendation to the Prudential Committee that they contract with Tata and Howard, and now they are telling us, you guys just go ahead and do it. We're all set.
Yep.
Okay.
So then if she says they're all set, they're all set. We just wanted to make sure that everything was brought up.
Because I didn't know how the warrant was.
Yeah.
And
you
had my understanding, that they needed to buy off on it. That's fine.
Okay. Their report will be due when, Chris?
Well,
they have what, 30 days, 60 days,
I think it says?
They have
60 days
date.
Once they actually get the formal letter and start.
Right.
Yeah. And then we have to sit down with them.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yep.
To get them all.
Pat, it's the same guy who's got
right.
the,
we've got warrants now.
Yep.
Thank you.
position for too long. He wants to be in a different position for a while. What happened to your glasses?
They just blew up right just as I set them down. Super glue.
Gorilla Glue. Yeah. They're doing a lot of commercials in Gorilla Glue now.
I see network connections on this warrant. Are we actually getting an active network
in the office? Is that the integrated services? Is that what it is?
8-port switch for network connections from WB Mason?
No, that's where our we had a burnout.
Oh, okay.
So we had to buy, when we lost power, our internet went down.
So we're still on the
We had to buy a new one. Yeah, we're still on. We got the box.
Okay.
Don't walk in that back room without ducking.
Right, only show people allowed in the back room.
You will be up, you know, on the utility room.
Put this right here so you can see them later. Okay, water quality report.
We're good. So far, so good. All samples came back negative. We did do some VOS testing, VOC, excuse me, testing, and they were within limits. We had a little bit of coliform in the water, which we always do, just a tiny bit, not a lot, not much to be worried about.
Whoa.
It's just a minimal amount. It's the only thing that ever really shows up.
Coliform,
yeah. I'm not coliform, excuse me. Chloroform.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good.
My tongue's a little
Yeah, good.
Chris doesn't feel good.
Had me scared there for a minute.
They got me with, I had a lesion cut off my tongue one day.
Oh.
And I'm not feeling well now, so my tongue's swollen.
Nice.
But, your tongue, my knee, his glasses.
Right. We're not doing well. You are like in the best condition of your life right now.
Okay. Good. Yeah, chloroform. Sorry.
Okay.
Chloroform.
And then superintendent's report.
Sure. Water quality. Anything back on the manganese out on Putnam? Getting better.
No, we're still at the same.
Still with quandary.
We're still with. Yeah, we got it. It showed, like I said. We're higher than the suggested amount in the area. Mm-hmm. The dissolved is roughly the same in each one. It's a difference of about say. 0.05 of each one, instead of being like, say 19, it's 15 or something to that effect, or 14, which means there's some particles there. It's like I said, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Down the line, we're going to have to get rid of it somehow. We're going to have to figure out something. I don't know how come it's only in that area, and I don't know if we ought, you know, without going in there and seeing if we have unlined pipes in there or something. If that's the case, but it doesn't seem so because we get stimuli in the area. So it's going to have to be put through almost like a multi-computer system and see what's where everything's right, or you know what, if there's anything stronger in one area than the other or something to that effect.
No, it's probably
70s. Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
That's
not my life.
That's your answer. It's close to you.
Yeah.
In terms 70. In terms of water, where your water supply is.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got stuff in there since the '30s. It's still fine.
Yeah.
You know. Hey.
But isn't Dawn on the same line, or are those different?
Oh, something like one of the ones that I took off is a line that was put in I'd say 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as high, but
yeah. I know Chris, there's money available from the state to replace gas lines, but the gas company is getting money. Is there any money available to replace water lines?
That's driven by methane.
Well, I know the house is blowing up.
I can inquire a little more on infrastructure or something, yeah.
Okay. Certain funds to pension report.
All right. Superintendent's report, March 21st, 2018. February of 2017, we pumped $8,219,000. February of 2018, we pumped $5,641,000 for a difference of $2,578,000.
So less this year, $5 million.
Less this year than last year, and last year was low.
Last year was
$8 million, yeah. And that was low last year. We had in February of 2017 less than 2 inches of rain. This year we had 6.5.
Yeah.
So it could make quite a bit of a difference. We did have some sunshine that came out, but we had some rain too. I wished I could give you a better answer. I don't know if the two new tanks take a lot less to come down, but we haven't been pumping water at all. I'm shocked at how little bit of water. We just had our tanks calibrated. I mean, our wells calibrated in January. We had the guys do a leak detection in the town,
mm-hmm.
January to February. Didn't find one leak. Everything's buttoned right up.
That's you guys.
Yeah,
doing
we do
a good job at efficiency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe all this conservation we push is finally working.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't have any new water services. Replacement one new in February. I got a question sent to me from Warren Rutherford about the handbook.
Yep.
Asking if he wants me to make the changes that he's put in. He's also put in a change, and I thought I brought it last time. So I don't have it with me now about the pregnancy.
I might have.
Yeah, I've given it to Vic to bring to the Policy Advisory Committee. Attorney Boudreau, the two choices of people that he had for me, one guy is retired and one guy has moved away. So he's trying to find somebody else to review our handbook.
Okay.
But he's still on it. I'd like to tell Warren, yeah, we can just do it. Yeah. So it's going into effect April 1st, I believe.
Yeah.
It takes effect July 1st. It's pay equity. So it's going to have to be added in anyways.
Yeah. So the attorney doesn't have anyone to review this.
He hasn't had anybody yet.
Yeah, okay. And we don't have to have this till July 1st, you said?
Yeah, that their newest one does not have to be put until July 1st. I mean, it's not much. It's all a program.
Yeah.
Is it July?
July 1st, 2018.
Okay. The second one is?
Yeah.
More than one. April.
It says July on there. That's why I was saying.
I don't really know, Chris. That's what I was talking about. The current week starts on page two.
Yeah. He says on here, collective July 1. That to pay equity.
I think it starts on page 3. Second.
Yeah, so there's still some work that has to be done on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still concerned on the accrued leave and stuff.
So tell Warren that we're going to wait a month
okay.
if we can't have it reviewed.
Good.
And then give Attorney Boudreaux a call, see if he can't, if there's a way that we could find someone for our next meeting to have it done.
Okay. Valley Communications showed up, who are the ones who are putting all the cabinets in for the fiber optics. They put every one of them in except for one. It was dented and broken. So now they had to order another one. We have to wait for them to come put that one in.
Okay.
Everything, the plywood's up and everything, they're just waiting to put it in. I told you about the leak detection that was done. The chemical upgrades, I talked to McLuhan Construction yesterday, and they'd like to see if they can get the guy in within in April, either the first or second week, to start shutting the stations down to clean them. He might not do, he said he will hold the price for a third station, but he might not do it right away. He might come back and do it because he's so busy.
But the weather's not affecting anything, is it?
Not right now. I told him to keep moving. I need him in as soon as possible.
Yeah.
That's that. I'm done.
Okay, has there been any weather-related problems?
Have we had any?
Yeah.
Yes. We have. We have power losses. Station 3 just got going on Monday. It was offline, so it was okay. We had our generator, brand new generator, fail at the West Street tank to the point where one of the newer guys was on. I called him Saturday of our storm and asked him how things were. He said everything was fine. We'd lost power at 3, that was it. Everything else was working. Later on during the day, we lost power at both tanks. He didn't realize that it was flatlining because we lost power and it said there was 20 feet of water in the tank. Well, Station 5 was running and he looked at it, it said it was 20 feet, Station 5 wasn't working, wasn't filling it. So he flipped on another, he turned that off, then stuck another one on and said, I got to give it a break. It's not just not filling it. We took it off, put another station on. Well, what he did was overflow the tanks. But he did it. Our new tank had some either black beauty or sand and some paint on the screen, which kind of wouldn't let the overflow come out. Couldn't handle it. Overflowed inside the tank. We don't have any problems there. It's a little wet in the place. We might have lost one sensor that, it's a flow sensor that was on the outside. Other than that, we think we found the problem. I had somebody go up and figure out why it happened because it shouldn't be happening. We replaced the screens at both of them. When we went back down, we tried to get the, generator to work. Couldn't get it to work. Finally, the guy came yesterday to fix it. I had to call somebody. And they had it turned to natural gas instead of propane. A little switch. So it was running too rich. Or not rich enough. And it was under speed. And it was just shut off after it started running. So when you went and started it up, it worked fine. And you walked away, hey, it works. You sit there, it runs for half an hour, everything's fine. After half an hour, it kicked off after you left and shut it down. Simple thing. I've actually signed with these guys to do a yearly maintenance on it and everything else. But hopefully we won't have anything like that happen again. Talking about different things, when I was talking to the gentleman, he said, you know, I thought at one point maybe the tank wasn't working. I said, why wasn't the generator working? He said, I don't know. So why didn't you plug in the other generator down at Santuit? We could have used the Santuit tank, which is our backup. He said, because there's no generator there. I said, yeah, there is. You could have take it out and plug it in. I've never done that. I don't know anything about that. So little things like you were talking about,
yeah,
like that of, you know, yeah. I never had a chance to go out and say to them, hey, this is the backup power down here. Every other one has an automatic and everything else. It's just one thing you don't really think about too much, especially when you think everything else is going to work. Mm-hmm. So we had no idea that we even had a generator down there to plug in. By the time he figured it out and talked to me about it, we had all power back and everything else, and we showed him how it worked, and everything's fine now. But there was a little bit of a lapse there, and just, you know, it's not something just anybody would know. You'd think some people might, some people would, yeah, some people don't. Yeah.
What's fine beauty?
When they had sandblasted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a black grit sand that they use, yeah. And it just is such a fine mesh that they use for an insect screen that the water just started kicking out in the levels in the drain tubes,
yeah,
and flooding the inside out. Couldn't believe it.
But no damage.
No. The roof, I'm hoping, will dry out enough.
Yeah.
The wooden roof on the structure that's there. And I'm making sure that there's no, you know, we might have to cut a piece out and just make sure there's nothing in there, that it's nice and dry and everything. But we'll see.
All right, so we've covered superintendent's report, we've covered the chemical safety. The only thing that's left is really for us to go over our discussion that we had with Prudential today to see about what we want to present in next Tuesday's meeting. Does anyone have any ideas, thoughts, suggestions? Do we want to go with just what we got, or do we want to go? Want to consider over a period of 2 or 3 years, or what do we want to do? Because I'll tell you, if this is what our options are, we can go through and make the presentation we have, and the district can say no. In which case, we'll have to come up with an alternative, have a special meeting before the end of the fiscal year, and then have a new vote.
Maybe we ought to have those alternatives in place before we go. Say we've got the original proposal, we've got an alternative for a phased-in approach. I mean, if you think that the village is going to be against that budget, then I think we need to have some alternatives.
Well, I'm willing to sit up there and make the case for it. I just want to know what's going to be best. How is the district and the water department going to be best served when we go before the district to come up with this change?
And that's my...
Yeah.
I have that question. I don't know. I mean, will the district support this budget?
Now the
will they support that pay increase,
yep,
or will they all raise their eyebrows and say, no, it's too much money, we don't want to do that this year? Because if the people don't want to do it, then we shouldn't push it forward.
One thing that occurred to me when I was given that presentation tonight, we talked about Lisa's suggestion or question, but the other question is, you know, it's 22.5 for the water district, but I think another number in there might have helped, and it would have been something like, how much is that per rate payer, or how much of that is per gallon? And I guess you could show it in different ways, but that 22.5, when you divide it into the number of rate payers, I should be able to do the math in my head, but on a yearly basis, what would that do? Anyway, and coming up with, so that, you know, the people sitting out there can relate to it, you know, 22.5, yeah.
Plus,
what does that mean to me?
We're kind of in flux this one particular year because our goal has been to have this rate cost of service study done so we could come up with a plan to adjust the rates to cover our salaries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have that in time for this meeting. It's just not going to be there. And so it might be there. When did the rates change? What's
start date for the rates reset?
People are paying them now.
Right now, but yeah. I mean for next year.
What do you mean by the rate change?
Oh, we set the rates when we send out the bill in March.
Oh, we send out the minimum bill in March.
And in October, we get the excess bill. So we just set out the minimum.
So will we go on the fiscal year of?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could.
$9.78.
Yeah.
I just want my
how
question.
How many customers do we have?
2,500 roughly.
Yeah.
So $9 a customer.
That's what it means.
Basically.
If it goes through the rate. If it goes through taxes, it'll be less because we have more tax.
That's a bigger tax base, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that number like that will help people relate. And I mean, the caveat, you just said, you know, you could say that. Well, if it was all up to the rate, it would add that much for customers. But if it went into taxes, it would be less. But the...
It roughly costs us a year with a new employee to get them to D1, T2. We're talking... two classes, just about. We're talking like $2,500 per person. So you're talking $5,000 for two employees to be trained, where you can make a one-time adjustment. You might not have to train anybody for 10 years, 15 years. But if they keep doing this, and I got to keep training everybody, you know, it's a hell of a budget, you know. And if you got to train two at the same time, I got to borrow money from different accounts just to send someone to school.
And like, Vic had up there, it doesn't give us a succession plan. Because now you're training somebody that has no idea what's in the system.
Right.
And it doesn't free the group time, Chris. And, you know, that $5,000 sounds like a lot of money. But I'll bet you when you start putting your time into it, and, you know, your other operator into it, you know, gyms and whatever else, I'll bet you there's a significant amount of time.
Right, yeah. And I'm not talking, they got to go to Holliston to take this. I got to pay for gas, or, you know, for the truck to go back and forth. They got to leave during the day, and I don't have them working here.
I
you want some help?
I just got to move.
You know,
so you want some help?
The other thing I was thinking about was, and I don't know whether I can pick it out of those charts because they're so small, but the number of employees. I think that's in those tables, but they're so. I tried printing those on 11x17 sheets, and I still can't read them.
Yeah.
So that's in the plan that the water association put together.
Yeah, I think it's in there, but I printed one out on 8x11 separate sheets, and I'll try and do a cut based on that, but I don't even.
So let me just say this, and I'm going to say it out loud. And the suggestion I made that it be spread out over 2 or 3 years was questioned by Lisa. Does that, if it gets spread out over that time, with the cost of living and all that stuff that goes up each of those 2 or 3 years, does it get us to where we want to be?
I think if you put the cost of living in there, it would. But I think the danger in that is, and I think extremely low cost of living increases over the last 5-10 years. But I don't think
Was 3%.
Last year was big. But I don't think
this
that's
year 2%
gonna happen in the following years anyway. But you're gonna be hitting with the Prudential Committee and the rate there is instead of talking about what was our hour rate, 13 for some increase. If you say over the next 3 years 2.5%. So instead of talking about 13%, you're going to be talking about 7.5% on top of that, 20%, you know, at the end of 3 years. And I, at least from my perspective, that's going to be harder than smaller.
And you don't know who's coming in. Somebody could come in and say, no, I don't care what you talked about before I got here. Stan's not going to be here next year.
He's not here now. what's going on. He's done?
I don't know. He hasn't been around for a while. I'm not sure what's going on. But I
might have to come entertain with class.
Yeah, I would have liked to hear his opinion tonight. But I think you could throw that up there, you know, put another slide there and say, here it is. If we do it over a 3-year period, we want to catch up and get to that mean. But part of that is Lisa's question, what are the other towns doing? We're going to do it, and who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to keep their employees.
Yeah, they are. Well, maybe they're not. Dennis out there probably is.
They might.
No. But I
don't know if you can't go up there with two different sets and say, listen,
I'll
you guys,
A or B. Yeah.
Because it's going to turn into.
How about this? It's only me talking. It seems like you guys really want to do it. You've done all this work. You want to do it. Present what you have with what you were talking about. Add another slide to the Civic Association. See what you get for a feedback from the Civic Association. If you want to throw a second something to have underneath, then you do.
The thing is, it has to be printed up at a certain time.
Yeah, but you can make any adjustment on the floor.
Yeah, but it's not always true, because I've had to talk with people that are from the state that typically what is presented to the public in the warrant, in all the articles, is what they, you know, they either come or they don't come based on what they read. And because change halfway through, and everyone in the town hasn't had the opportunity to read that, understand it, and then make a decision on it. More so than the people that do show up there. I remember when I heard that, it was like...
Because that's what gets people here or not.
Yeah.
In the state process, in the regular process, right? If they don't care, they might not come.
Yeah.
Or they might come just to make sure it happens.
Yeah.
And I think...
But if someone wants to really, it's a real problem, they can say, well, this is not even close to what you had to advertise now. It's totally different.
Yeah.
If I thought you guys would change it so dramatically, I would have, come up and...
I think we can make a pitch to two things about it. One is what I heard tonight was we can't support this, but we could support 10%. No, we could support 8%, but we're some alternative. And we did hear that. And then the other thing that I think is going to be a little bit rates, because somehow you have to prepare the town that we're doing this rates. That the word's been out on that for quite a while, but still, there's going to be lots of people that say, oh, there are. And that in the future, the rates are probably going to change based on that. And that's independent of this. And the other thing, Chris needs to prepare a budget based on what salary budget.
Right.
Or goals.
Yeah.
But I think we can work some slides into the presentation.
I'll say it again, too. I mean, now, the solar farm issue was very emotional for a lot of people when they came out, and I don't know if they will come out and vote.
People come out and say no. They don't come out to say yes.
Right. I don't know if they will do that. That's a concern I have. But they came out and pretty much unanimously said, raise my rates. Raise my rates.
Yeah.
We'll pay more. So if we go to them and say, well, we don't have the rate survey done, so we're not going to raise your rates, but you are going to get hit with a surcharge or however that comes to be, or your taxes go up a little bit, it's going to cost you $10 more a month or a year.
The reality is the rates are going to go up irregardless, because we're
going
to lose income from cell tower,
yeah.
Significant amount of income for that. Right now, the income, because we've had such a wet season, from water production is down.
Mm-hmm.
Way down.
That might not be because of the wet season, because people aren't watering and washing the sewer pools now.
Well, that's, again, because...
And we're still down 2 million gallons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful. And I remember hearing a story a long time ago about a town in California that was... the water department asked the residents to be, you know, they have a water shortage, really need you to be careful. So these people started putting bricks in their toilet tanks there, all that stuff, and they were so efficient at saving water that they had to raise the rate.
Mm-hmm.
And it pissed a lot of people
off. Yeah.
So I can go Tuesday and tell them we're going to stick with our presentation.
And they can add some information about,
yeah,
you know, cost per household,
you know, yeah,
cost per taxpayer,
yeah,
so that maybe they can wrap their heads around it a little easier.
It would be that, and also just, you know, when this rate thing comes out, we are going to be raising our rates. There was a large outcry of people that did, you know, had no problem with raising the rates because they've been so low for so long.
And the other thing that I mentioned when I talked to the Prudential Committee a couple weeks ago, and it didn't come up today, was if you look at the bottom line, we're only looking for a 4% increase overall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our salaries might be increasing substantially for some people, but overall, it's 4%. Because we have some savings in some other places.
That's very good point.
And one of the speakers that night brought up to me that, actually, I don't know if she brought it up to the public, but she mentioned it to me, was like, you're going to have a senior operator who's outside of your level. You might have to move him back down into your level. That operator's position might have to take a pay cut. Because now you've got somebody that doesn't fit your model.
Yeah.
And that could be some additional savings as well.
Okay.
And I hadn't thought about that. And I don't know if that will come up again. I have a feeling it will.
You can put, right? You can add to that slide.
So I'm not going to do a presentation next Tuesday, but I'm just going to add some information. So if we come up with the figures of what it would increase each user over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like I just did it with 2,500 users.
Yeah, and the bottom line for the entire department's operation is a 4% increase.
Yeah.
If you were to look at pay of level 5.
Yeah.
He's been in that position for, if we look at it, he's been in the position since he was hired here just about. He's been here 28 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can make a justification that you don't have to cut his pay, but you're definitely not going to add to it,
yeah,
you know, with some of this, because he's been here 28 years at that level when he was hired.
Mm-hmm. And he might be, you know, one of the only employees that's been here that long that's been compensated.
Okay. Right, and he's got a raise every year.
People understand grandfather, you know, positions.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It just came up, and I was like, well, you know, that's a good point, but he's as close as we have to an assistant superintendent.
Right.
He knows the system.
He's the backup. He is number two.
You know?
Okay. So, because I'm starting to lose my ability to sit here any longer.
Uh-huh.
I think we've come to a consensus of what we want to present to the Prudential Committee, and I will do that Tuesday. Okay.
You want those slides, right?
No, I don't want. I just want to have a printout of the basic facts, the things that we, because they've already seen the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stan.
Yeah. I mean, the fire department on that budget meeting night, they came with a slideshow, and I had a few papers.
This whole year was kind of done backwards anyway.
That's what they asked for.
Yeah.
They said they didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
Did I hear right that the fire chief's going to get a raise because he doesn't take insurance?
He mentioned that he doesn't take insurance.
didn't either. I never got a raise. I don't get paid here. I don't get a raise.
I don't take insurance. So if you guys want to give me whatever the insurance is, that's fine.
Yeah. Should we put that on there? Well,
you want me to come Tuesday, Don?
You can if you want.
Yeah. What
if
time
you
is
do,
that here?
It's at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Yeah.
We should just have Jen post Jennifer. If it's possible, we may have more than one water commissioner at the branch committee next Tuesday, so we should post it.
Yeah.
So if more than one shows up, we're covered.
Yeah.
Okay, Jen?
And we don't have to talk about water. Talk business. I can just come hang out with you.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen their agenda at all?
No.
No, okay. I haven't.
Just checking.
What are you looking for?
Their agenda.
Why don't we...
We got to pick a meeting.
April 18th is the third Wednesday.
Well, you know what? I have nothing to do.
Nope. Hold on.
April 18th is good for everyone?
Hold on. Yeah, my wife's got a job, so I'll be around that week. Or maybe not. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So, with that in mind,
I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, yeah.